Brother Edward Harper, a faithful member here at Deep Run, and our brother in the faith, passed away Friday, August the 2nd. Let's bow our heads for a moment of reflection. Amen. Good morning, and we welcome you to the high spot. That's a good thing about having a church on the hill, isn't it? Even if you have to row your boat to get here, you got somewhere to dock. It's good to see you. You know, it weren't too long ago we were complaining about it being too dry. The Lord showed us what kind of water spigot, the water pump he's got in. We're thankful for that because I know he knows we need it. So we'll praise him for it this morning. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you, those of you. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord and just to lift praises and thanksgiving to God Almighty who meets all of our needs. And we're so thankful for that. You see, before we begin worship, there's announcements we have on Mondays 9 to 12 listed. Ladies Auxiliary Lab Quilt Project, making quilts to support the veterans. This whole month of August, we're collecting school supplies. You look in the bulletin, gives you an idea of some things that you can collect. Great opportunity to go shopping. Wednesday, August 14th, the deacons will meet at 6:30. There'll be Bible study the 15th at 10 o'clock. Next Sunday, we're planning to have a baptismal service. We're excited about that, the 18th. Sunday, the 18th at 4 p.m., ladies' auxiliary meeting. And on Wednesday at 10 a.m., the 21st, they'll be packing the food bags at Deep Run Baptist Church. So if you want to help with that, see Johnny. He'll lead you in the right direction. And the ladies' auxiliary have a study course at Core Creek on the 24th. Miss Linda Fay can guide you on that. If you need the facilities here, see Donna. She handles the booking for the church facilities. Her number's listed. Do we have any other announcements?
The 25th was the blessing of the backpacks. So spread the word and bring your backpacks and we'll celebrate back to school.
I know the students are so excited about that, huh?
Teachers are too.
Okay, any other announcements? All right, church, we've gathered to worship the Lord, so stand together and let's take our bulletin and read together the responsive reading for our call to worship. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation.
The Lord is the stronghold of our lives.
We desire to live in God's house and to see God in His holy temple.
We have come with shouts of joy to sing and to make music to the Lord.
Let us worship God in spirit and in truth.
Teach us your ways and make straight our paths in this hour of worship and always.
Father God, we thank you and praise your name that you are our light, our salvation, the stronghold of our lives. For we're weak, and we need someone to strengthen us and uphold us, and you do so with your mighty hand. We come to worship you this morning, and we pray that the songs we sing, the things that we say, the tithes and offerings we give, the prayers we pray, all we do will bring glory and honor in your name. Help us to worship in spirit and in truth, that we won't wander in this life, but we'll walk the straight path as you lead and guide us, and we give you praise in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Turn to hymn number 3, verses 1, 2, and 4. Hymn 3, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
may be seated. Dennis has our scripture readings for today.
The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. The New Testament reading is Matthew 22, 15 through 40. Then the Pharisee went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you, that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used to pay the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? Jesus replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Continue to worship this morning as we pray. Are there any needs we need to lift this morning?
D.D. Sims,
okay.
Miranda Wiggins.
Pauline
Andrews.
Pauline.
Marvin
Oh, Marlene Andrews, okay.
Just remember, Harris is on the hall. Okay. And some days things are better, but anyhow, his, where he had the growths removed are not healing. So the worst case scenario is may have to remove his bladder, but they're still trying to just give it time to heal.
Okay. Any others? Continue to remember the Edward Harper family and our nation. We're going into a time here shortly to elect some new leaders, and we certainly do need leadership in our world today. So we need to seek God. Pray for one another. Certainly, Miss Shirley, yes. And
Caroline,
okay, yes. All right, let's bow our heads as we pray. Take your hymn books, turn to hymn 93, sing the first, second, and fourth verse. Hymn 93, God our Father, we adore thee.
Christ, the glory be.
blessing upon them. We ask for great stewardship as we use these resources to spread your word and minister in our community. We ask your blessing upon this service. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. Be seated. Today our scripture text is from Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, 15 through 40. Dennis read that for us this morning, did an excellent job. Thank you, Dennis. And our thought is this morning, how to become a street smart saint. This week, I was reading an article about the many challenges that Christians face today. Some of the most pressing issues is the rise of secularism, which is the process of removing religious influences from public life. And, you know, this has been going on for many years in the U.S., and it's only getting worse. There's also religious pluralism in the world today, and Christians face many challenges because of the many religions. One of the most pressing is the rapid rise of Islam, which has the highest growth rate in both number and influence. Christians also face challenges from secularism and relativism, which challenge the idea that there is one right way to believe, and there is the spread of religious extremism, and the growing number of people who do not identify with any religion. Addition, Christians are often faced with discrimination and persecution due to their beliefs. Another challenge to the church includes moral relativism. It's the philosophy that holds there is no right or there is no wrong. There's only differing opinions. We'll make it up as we go, and what might seem right to you might be wrong to me, and what might be wrong to me may seem right to you, but that's okay. There is no absolute truth, so it teaches. Relativism is a growing trend, and you know, Christians must be prepared to face it head on. Frequently throughout the ministry of Jesus, he too was constantly being challenged. Today we see the Jewish leaders challenging Jesus' authority. In verse 15 it said, when the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. Their strategy was to ask Jesus some trick questions which they knew would be very difficult to answer. And they brought up some challenging issues, asking about paying taxes and about marriage in the afterlife and about the greatest commandment in the law of Moses. And in his answers, we learn some things about dealing with confrontation and how to respond to those who challenge us. But more importantly, we learn some things about holy living. Jesus told us to go and to make disciples, and it's imperative that we are living holy lives just like Jesus himself. Jesus is the exact representation of holiness, and he is the perfect example of what it means to be and to live holy. And it's interesting to see how he stands up to those who challenged him. Sometimes we make the mistake of equating holiness with being clueless or spineless or maybe naive. In Jesus, we see a street smart approach to holiness. And street smart here refers to having the practical knowledge to enable one to navigate real situations of life effectively out in the world. Some people might call it street savvy. I had a dog one time that was street savvy. You know, he didn't really need me to survive. He knew where everybody put their scraps and when. The exact moment. He had it down to a pat. He knew where the best water was. He knew the horses had automatic water, and he could go right over there and drink all the water he wanted out of there, nice fresh water. He was street savvy. And Jesus was too. He was street smart. And we see here this street smart approach to holiness. And, you know, Jesus was holy. He wasn't a pushover. He was street smart. So today we look at three question and answer sessions. Kind of reminds me of some of these news reporters today, how they ask these questions. You know, we're trying to trap somebody, you know. But we see the same thing here, three question and answer sessions. And let's see what they can teach us about having a street smart holiness like Jesus. The first lesson, if you want to be a street smart saint, number one, you must know people. We see this in Jesus. The disciples of the Pharisees came to him and said in verse 15, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are." What amazes me here is that they thought that Jesus could be swayed by their words. They thought that their phony kindness would cause him to let down his guard. And he went on to say in verse 17, "Then tell us, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Now, this was a critical issue. I mean, it was a hot topic, particularly since the question was asked by representatives of both the Pharisees and the Herodians. These two groups had opposing opinions on this matter. They didn't agree about it. And the Pharisees considered paying taxes to Rome to be an infringement on the Jewish law. And the Herodians were a small group of Jews who were loyal to Herod. And they considered paying taxes to be a proper way to fulfill responsibilities as good citizens. They thought Jesus would be swayed by their flattery and then trapped by their question. Listen to how Matthew records it in verse 18. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me?" Jesus knew people well enough not to be fooled by their flattery. The bottom line is that he knew when to be tough and he knew when to be tender. And he wasn't easily duped. In fact, there's an interesting verse in the Gospel of John, John 2, 23 and following. It says, Now while he was in Passover, or in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in man. Get the right glasses off. So here we see that Jesus had discernment. Jesus knew how to read people. And the next obvious question you might have is, how do I develop that trait? Well, the same way you get to Carnegie Hall. You practice. You learn through practice. The more you deal with people, the more you apply yourself to developing this characteristic, the better you get at it. So if you want to be a street smart saint, you got to know people. You have to be able to read them. You have to be able to discern what's going on behind the scenes and between the lines. And you learn how to do this by practicing. So the second lesson here in becoming a street smart saint, and this one's important. Number two, you must know the Bible. Let's take a look at the second section of today's text. In verse 23, it says, "The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses told us if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. And the same thing happened to the second and the third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died, and she had married all these brothers. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her?" Man, that's a question, isn't it? And Jesus replied, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry or be given in marriage. They will be like angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, pay close attention. Verse 31. Have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." The reason why the Sadducees asked Jesus his question wasn't because they were concerned about marriage in the afterlife. They asked this question because they didn't even believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in heaven or even hell. And they were trying to ridicule the concept of life after death with this worst case scenario. And the primary reason they didn't believe in the afterlife is because the Sadducees only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah. That was their scriptures. And they believe there is nothing in these books that speak directly of life after death. So what did Jesus do? "But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God has said to you?" And he quotes Exodus 3, 6. Exodus, one of the books, the Sadducees, they considered this to be scripture. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So Jesus' interpretation of this verse hangs on this present tense verb, I am. I am the God of Jacob. Not I was, but I am. And the God of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. And your scripture, the books that you hold sacred, teaches this concept of life after death. And if you knew the scriptures, you would know this to be true. So what does this mean to us? If you're serious about living a holy life, you must know God's word. Knowing the Bible not only helps you know how to live, but it also helps you defend yourself from error. I know a man who was a Christian for over 20 years, and he decided he was going to convert to another religion. He considered his conversion to be a step forward in his faith. But if he knew what the Bible said, he would recognize that it's not a step forward, but it's a step backward. He would recognize the error of the teaching that these people teach from day one. There are many people today who are easy prey for some of the flamboyant TV and radio preachers simply because they don't know the Word of God well enough to recognize the error of their teachings. Now, what kind of lesson is this there for us to learn? Simply, we must make knowing the Bible a priority in our lives. Well, how do you do that? Same way you get to Carnegie Hall. You practice. You practice reading the Bible, and you get to know it by reading it. And I encourage everyone to set aside time every day to spend time reading the Bible. Every day, meditating. If it's just one passage of Scripture, get it in you. And, you know, read the Bible just to be reading. Put the newspaper down, pick the Bible up. You know, I've heard a lot of people tell me, say, preacher, it's hard to read that Bible. Well, get you a modern translation, like the New Living Translation. There are modern translations, and you can read, and it's great. I mean, it's good. You can understand it. You know, read an entire book, and just let God speak to you. Another way is join a Bible study group. There are a lot of Bible study groups meeting. There are groups that meet regular, some online, some in homes, some at restaurants, in churches. And if you don't know of a group that meets, start a group. It's a great way to learn and disciple others and be involved in the process of helping people find and follow Jesus. Jesus was able to deal with the challenges he faced because he knew the Word of God. And in the same way, your knowledge of God's Word will help you deal with the challenges that you face in life. It'll help you know the difference between truth and error. And then the third thing we learn here, if we're going to be a street smart saint, number three is you must know what your priorities are. This was kind of like a tag team match. Anybody ever see wrestling on TV? You know, they had these tag teams. You know, and they would always catch one that was by himself, and they would jump on him and just beat him down. The Pharisees came at Jesus with their question and answer challenge, and then the Sadducees came at him with their question and answer challenge, and they tag-teamed him. And then the Pharisees came back again and said, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert. See, the tag team couldn't do nothing with him, so here comes the expert. The expert in the law tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Now, the question seems straightforward and innocent, doesn't it? I mean, it's like the Pharisees really wanted to learn something. But really, the Pharisees were trying to get back, you know, into Jesus' corner. I mean, they had been shut down, and they were trying to flatter him with words again. And they were trying to get him involved in a debate on whether certain laws could be ranked higher than others, and certainly they wanted Jesus to side with them as far as the way they interpret it. And Jesus gave them this straightforward answer, leaving no room for misinterpretation. I mean, they didn't even have to interpret this. All they had to do was hear it. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first, the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus is saying, yes, there's two supremely important commandments in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you miss these two, you miss the whole thing. What are the commandments? Love God with all that's within you, and love others like you love yourself. If you tithe but you don't love God and others, you've missed it. If you go to church every Sunday and you don't love God and love others, you've missed it. You wear your hair in a bun but you don't love God and love others, you've missed it. If you spend your whole life not smoking, not drinking, not dancing, not gambling, but you don't love God and others, you've missed it. Loving God and loving others, these are the top priorities when following Jesus. Here's what I've noticed. When you have these two priorities in place, everything else is more likely to fall in its proper place. If you love God and love others, you live by the Ten Commandments. You won't curse someone you love. You won't steal from someone you love. You won't murder someone you love. You won't cheat on someone you love. If you love God and love others, you'll be motivated even more to live a holy life. If you love God and others, you won't become more generous in your giving. If you love God and others, you want to learn to control your anger. And yes, control your tongue. If you love God and others, you want to help those who hurt. You want to feed those who are hungry. You want to encourage those who are discouraged. You want to speak the truth to those who need to hear it the most. If you love God and love others, you will do all that is possible to help them find and follow Jesus. Loving God and loving others is what motivates you towards a life of holiness. It's the driving force of the Christian life. It moves the church out of complacency to help people find and follow Jesus Christ. Anybody here got anything in your life you need to improve? Yes. Three people, all right. Some of you might say, well, I need to be a little more consistent. I'm not really consistent. Maybe I need to think a little more practical. Or maybe I talk too much. I need to do something about that. Or, I'm a little bit lazy. I could do more. I put things off. Maybe some of you go, well, all of that is me. That's me, all of that. But let me say this morning. The truth is, of all the things that we need to improve in our life, and we're sinners, we fall short. There are a lot of things we need to improve. But of all the things that we need to improve, these two must be at the very top of the list. I need to love God more with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And the second is, I need to love others like I love myself. Church, if we'll put these two at the top, if we'll get these two right, everything else will fall in its proper place. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all the other things will be added. So in conclusion, Jesus told us to go into all the world, make disciples, and as we're going into all the world to make disciples, an inevitable aspect of the Christian life is that we're going to be challenged. Right? We're going to be challenged from time to time. People will question our beliefs. People will question our motives. People will question our integrity. And everything else there is to question. Sometimes they'll pretend to be our friends when they're really trying to undermine everything that we believe and do. It's an unfortunate fact of life. Just like Jesus, we face many challenges today, but there's no need for despair. We can unite together to overcome the challenges we face by together following Jesus. He is the only way to find peace and happiness in this life and in the next. So if you want to be holy, if you want to be just like Jesus, if you got to keep your eyes wide open, you got to keep your mind engaged, you got to be street smart. You got to know people so you won't be easily duped. You got to know the Bible so you can differentiate between what's true and what's not true. You got to know your priorities. Loving God and loving others must be at the top of the list. And I believe if we can get these things right, we'll be well on our way to being a street smart saint, just like Jesus. Father, we thank you today for your word and the truth that is contained in it. Today we are not here to just learn something else. We want to take this and apply it. And we need your Holy Spirit to move on us, to just fall upon us, and to just speak to us and convict us and give us the strength that we need to be that street smart saint that goes into the world and represents Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time we have, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together and turn to the closing hymn 491. We're going to sing verse 1 and 4, Jesus, I Come. Again, we thank you and welcome you. Thank you for being here. Remember those that have interest in our prayers. Remember the announcements. I Also, next Sunday, remember the baptism service. If anyone has any questions about that, see me following our worship today. Does anyone have anything to say before we leave?
I do.
All right, come on.
If you remember, sometime back, we started a prayer team, and we've had some wonderful answers to our prayers, and I've been praying, and I want to say to you, if any of you feel led to join our prayer team, mm-hmm. I hope you will. There are not too many of us, but, you know, it doesn't take a lot to be lifted up in prayer. We keep every request that we are made, we keep confidential, so if people want to bring us things they don't want to share with everybody. It's a wonderful thing. Those of us on the team, we don't meet, we just pray. So please, if you feel led to, please join our prayer team. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'm glad to see Miss Rhonda back with us again today in our house. Smile. Look around here, girl.
Anyone else? Say it before you leave. I know you're all excited. You can't wait to get out there and just
love on
someone. That's right. All right. Well, let's dismiss. Billy, would you dismiss us? All right.
Divine
intervention.
Yes. We need to hear it two times. So. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for leading us to gather together. And we do thank you for the rain. We thank you for the sunshine. And Father, we know that as believers, we will definitely face challenges in this life. And we know that it holds true that if we seek you first and love you first and love others as ourselves, that all other things will fall in place. We pray this for ourselves and for those we love. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.